quack, 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 quack,
Welcome to the Ducks Fly Together podcast. I am Raymond Torres. To my left, your right is
Peter Cruz.
And this podcast is a ridiculous, in-depth conversation of the 90s Disney film trilogy, The Mighty Ducks. On today's episode, we are going to discuss The Mighty Ducks 1994 film, D2. And Pete, what do you got? What memories do you have of this movie?
This is the very first Mighty Ducks movie I've ever seen in the entire franchise. Got to see it in theaters, man. It was awesome. Like yeah. It was like the thing of the summer.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
And the best part of it all is that the Anaheim was about to get the Ducks to start in the NHL. Hockey was kind of this new thing for a lot of us, so we were all really excited to just watch.
Yeah, I remember, like I said in the last episode, this was the first one that I saw, and I wanted to play hockey so bad.
Everybody wanted to play hockey so bad.
We lived in Southern California. Where was there? There was like no hockey, peewee hockey.
There's no official place to get hockey skates. Even if you wanted a rollerblade, you got like plastic inline like roller skates from like, what, Big Five? And
I wanted to play. I wanted to touch the ice. I wanted to. But then I remember a friend who I knew was in hockey. But he told me it was like so expensive. He was like, dude, you got to buy the pads. The skates are not cheap. And it was like
ice time, rink time. Like, yeah. I mean, for us, there's Lakewood, Norwalk, and then some spot all the way out in L.A.
Didn't Santa Fe Springs have a hockey?
By the time that we...
Well, we were older. That's
it was gone. We had, Rollerland? Skateland. Yeah. Shout out to Skateland.
Pour some out for Skateland. But yeah, no, I mean, I remember watching this movie thinking it was the funniest thing ever. I mean, it was comedy, and I think by then I already had like Nickelodeon, so I knew Keenan. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, this is guy from All That.
Dude, the guy was on top of the world in 94.
Dude, he was crazy. And so, yeah, this was definitely a memory, and then it got me into the whole franchise for sure. This one is
really good kids movie. Great logo.
Oh, yeah.
When they finally unveil the Ducks jerseys, which we later find to be the actual jerseys of the Ducks. And it got everyone just really excited for hockey.
Dude, the cover of the VHS was dope. It was just the face off with the bubble gum.
Yeah.
It's like, where was the bubble gum? There was no bubble gum in this movie.
No bubble gum in this movie whatsoever. They lied to us from the get-go.
Yeah. Wait, does the actual, the team, the Mighty Ducks, do they ever do throwback to like the old jerseys, the green ones?
So last year was the 25th anniversary of the Mighty Ducks.
Uh-huh.
They released jerseys, hats, all sorts of cool items.
And the players were playing in the District 5 Mighty Ducks looking.
They did everything. Yeah, they brought back every single one. The funny story is I bought a shirt, too small, had to take it back, ended up getting the hat. Hat's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what?
Let's get into it.
All right,
let's talk about the plot. Plot. Pete, roll down the plot.
Emilio Estevez reprises his role as Gordon Bombay in this 1994 sequel to The Mighty Ducks. At the end of the first movie, Bombay is headed to try out and restart his hockey career as he gets a shot in the minor leagues, starts hot-shotting it and lighting it up before suffering a knee injury and returning home to Minnesota. Because of the notoriety gained from leading the Ducks in the Pee Wee Hockey State Championship, he was approached to coach Team USA in the Junior Goodwill Games, gets his ragtag band of Ducks back together, and they add some new players from across the country and head off to the glitz and glam of Los Angeles. Bombay gets distracted by the fame and endorsements that leads to a humiliating loss against their arch rivals, Iceland.
He gets really distracted.
He gets very distracted. And eventually, he and his team band together and battle the way back to the finals where, spoiler alert, again manage to win, defeat their rivals, and claim the championship.
Yeah.
That's a lot to unpack.
Dude, there's so much to unpack.
And to say that we want to get through it all would be an understatement, but we're going to try to answer everything in it.
with the whole plot synopsis, it really brings up a lot of big questions in a segment we like to call
Big Questions.
Yeah. All right.
So many big questions.
So many big questions, Pete. All right. Well, okay. First big question. What do you think Bombay's minor league career was like?
I think given the track record that we've seen of Bombay, dude was partying.
He's a hot shot.
He's back on top of the world. He's got Charlie's mom in the bag. Got a great, gig.
Yeah.
Probably drinking again, right?
Yeah, probably drinking again.
But now he's got a minor league contract, so he's probably helping himself to a pretty healthy dosage of
something. He looks, when they show him in the beginning of the movie, he's on fire.
He
looks like he's a hot shot.
He's cutting ice,
yeah.
And but, let me tell you something, from someone that's been on ice level, to watch him do what he does there, I mean, he's got to be moving at the speed of light.
Yeah, he really is. And then, okay, another big question is, what exactly did Bombay injure?
Nobody knows.
He grabs his like thigh when he goes down, but then it's like his knee.
He has his knee wrapped in a scene, and then he goes for his groin again later on in the movie.
And then when he's in LA, he's all good.
You get a career-ending injury and immediately go, like, you have to have surgery, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to do some sort of rehab. Like, what miracle doctors exist in 1994, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what he does, he gets injured, he's limping around, he's holding his knee, he's wrapping his knee, and then he goes right into coaching hockey, which he's on the ice, and he's skating around.
Well, on the ice is one thing, because really, again, like, what exactly does he teach the kids?
I don't know.
This is the second movie, and mind you, they built a fucking franchise based on this movie with no hockey being taught whatsoever.
Yeah. How does winning a peewee hockey championship, a city-wide peewee hockey championship, lead to national attention?
And let's back this up a little bit. The Hawks, that asshole coach, Coach O'Reilly.
Coach O'Reilly.
He's won for 20 fucking years. Yeah. Why don't they offer the job to him?
To the guy who, let's go over his record one more time. Since we went over in the first episode, we're going to go over Bombay's record real quick. His record is?
One win. One draw. 12 losses.
12 losses.
And a forfeit.
And then?
Goes in the playoffs and goes 4-0.
So, I mean, it's really crazy that they won the championship, but it doesn't spark any type of this is the guy we need to coach.
At all.
Pee Wee.
And I'll give Olympics. I will give you this. Bombay, handsome dude.
Oh, good looking.
Rugged dude. And we saw in the first movie that they portrayed him as a stud, right?
Oh, yeah.
I could easily see as a junior wheels commission, like, let's not take the old guy that played
25 years, racking up banners.
Exactly. Let's get the young hip guy that we can build a market around and say, hey, this is our gold winning coach.
Yeah.
And he's going to lead us to greatness.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's.
But why?
It's merely, I think, Han or John, which. Why did they switch out the characters?
Rewatching this movie, they switched.
That's a crazy thing.
Because, again, this is the first movie I saw. When I go back and watch the first movie, it just doesn't register that it's this different guy.
It's his brother. It's Han's brother, John. Jan.
Big plot hole coming up in D3, but we'll get to there.
It's crazy because it is pretty much the same exact character. I don't know why they just didn't say it is the same one, switch out the actor, which they've been doing in movies since the beginning of time. So it's crazy to me. Anyway, they switch out Jan, and Jan has been pushing for Bombay to get this job with the Pee Wee Goodwill Games, and then he gets it.
And quite frankly, I don't think Han or Jan could answer this question for me. Out of all the players that could have scouted in the entire United States, they give us five.
Five
players. One that can't stop but skates really fast.
How do you get to the Olympic level when you can't stop? That's my thing. I don't understand.
That's like being an accountant. You can't do math.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But man, he can count the cash really fast.
The money really fast. That's like being a bank teller at Wells Fargo, but having no idea how the systems are in place to do all that. Then you got the hotshot, the cowboy. From Dallas, right?
From Austin.
Yeah. Oh, Austin. Yeah. Robertson.
Yeah.
Who, best stick handler ever. And then Gordon's response is,
For his age?
Oh, for his age? No, I've ever seen. Yeah. What's his problem? He doesn't pass.
He's a ball hog.
We got a Kobe. Shout out to Kobe.
So then they get a kid who's a figure skater in the Olympics.
Ken Wu.
Another figure skater. Mighty Ducks likes to go back to these figure skaters,
they
thinking that
want a cross
it's somehow
appeal.
One
yeah,
and
it's
one
like,
goes
it's like
with
a cross appeal and you get people to watch.
Yeah.
But more importantly, you get Dean Portman. Now, I love the Bash Brothers.
Goon.
This is the beginning awesome. Of the Bash Brothers. We love it.
Yeah.
But his sole purpose in this movie is to just hurt people.
Yeah. They need it. Hey, when he says you're going to need it when they're going against Iceland. So they needed it.
Which is crazy. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. But then you got Julie the Cat Gaffney.
Yeah.
The best goalie in the United States. But Goldberg is starting over her? What's yeah. why?
She's won. What do they say? She's won the state championship.
And like, what is it? New Hampshire, Maine. In Bangor.
Yeah.
She's from Bangor, Maine, which is in the bumfuck nowhere if you don't know where Bangor, Maine's from. She's got the fastest glove in the entire country.
She's won for, I think they say like 3 years, 4 years straight. She's won for her state. When Goldberg barely learned how to skate the year before.
Goldberg's a fucking fat piece of shit from Philly.
He just started learning how to.
They even said, like, he was moving away back to Philly. What happened? Why bring a guy that you think is going to move away and then comes back to the team? What?
Yeah. Like, and why do they start, you know, Goldberg over this accomplished goalie? Because she's a girl. That's really what it is.
Really what it yeah, is. Really yeah, sexism. Is.
Yes.
So, we touched on gerrymandering in the first movie. Yeah. This very much tells you that she's getting 20% less playing time for a reason. But yeah. We won't go into that.
All right. And then what's another question we got? One other big question. Okay. What question I had rewatching it was, what are the exact parameters of this Olympic-style tournament? Again, it's double elimination, right?
It's double elimination. And then once you get to the medal games,
it's just straight through.
So pretty much if you're undefeated, it launches you to the final. Mm-hmm. If you've taken a loss, then you go into a bracket where essentially you win out to get in the higher medal competition.
I see.
In this bracket, and just so we can give you a little backstory, you have the United States. You have Iceland, the powerhouse.
The favorites.
But then you have Trinidad and Tobago?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Yeah.
Which... possibly the best jerseys in the whole entire movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The tie dye. It's like really cool. Yeah.
And they beat the shit out of them. They get beaten up. Just they're the punching bag.
The awesome thing is like when Trinidad hits their one goal out of the whole game. Parties. Oh, dude. Oh, it's a whole party.
Steel drums. Like, steel drums. Man, it was like fucking Bob Marley concert. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then you got Italy, you got Germany, you got Russia, and Canada that aren't featured whatsoever. And a matter of fact, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Canada?
That would have been...
Russia?
Those should have been the actual villains of the movie.
Sweden? But we here at Black and Gold Studios spent
a lot of research,
hours and hours of research.
Scrolling the IMDb pages.
And more importantly, we asked ourselves, why is Iceland
the villain?
There was an article written by Steve Brill. Well, Steve Brill, if you guys don't know who he is, was actually one of the writers for the Mighty Ducks. And because of the geopolitical climate of the Soviet Union collapsing, 5 years prior, they felt maybe not Soviet Russia. Maybe not Russia. That's not the right time.
Maybe not having a kids' hockey movie rub it in our democracy in Russia's face. 5 years might be a little too soon.
Too soon. And then Germany was the obvious next choice, which they do play in the semifinal game, but...
it's like a quick montage. It's really fast.
And also, Gordon comes in quacking.
Yeah.
You know...
yeah.
But we'll get to that. What a piece of shit Bombay is. Germany is out for obvious reasons. Germany's in a lot of crazy shit in the years. They can't be the villains. Then you should think, okay, Canada, Sweden, Finland. Nope. Iceland. And at the time, Iceland, when this movie came out in 1994, Iceland had only had 2 hockey rinks in the entire country. They're not arenas. They're outdoors.
Yeah.
So much so that, again, the research that we did here, we actually got an interview with one of the players from Iceland who is actually now the vice president of the Icelandic Hockey Federation. Was 16 years old when this movie came out, and his teammates came out of the theater confused because Iceland was a bunch of goons.
Yeah, it's just, how does that get attributed to them? And it's just crazy. It blows my mind that that's the villain they wanted to go
with. And in the first game, big question, why do the refs get Portman out for interference and then just put away the whistles the rest of the game?
There's so many flagrant fouls that there just should have been, people should have been thrown
there's
out.
There's interference. Cross-checking, high-sticking. At one point, they pull in, Julie the Cat, and then she gets made fun of for being a girl, and then she punches him, and then gets ejected.
Send in a woman to do a man's job.
Don't break a nail.
I'm sorry, boys, but can you help me with my pads, please?
Yeah.
That's intensely injured. You're out of the game. Let's go. It's been
going on the whole time. It's bullshit is what
and then
it is.
What happens, Banks is on a heater. Banks is flying.
Banks is the MVP. By and large, of this game, he's going to score.
Everyone is like, oh, let's have fun. Banks is like, I'm going to make a career out of this.
He's looking here.
He's looking at the scouts.
Hey, you got a girl in the stands?
Scouts, man. Look at him.
Don't worry about scouts, Adam. Just play your best.
That's all he's thinking. He's got the eye on the prize. He's got money.
Dude, so Banksy is freaking flying through, hits a goal, and just does a really normal fist pump. Yeah.
And gets
a stick broke over his wrist.
Which is insane. That's like a scene from Casino, when the guy gets his hand smashed with them.
And then what do? They just get that guy into, put him in the penalty box.
And then the Wolf, the coach of Iceland, just gives him the little nod. Little attaboy.
Yeah.
That's all he gets. And you know what? I'm gonna save my Banks theory for a little bit. But big questions. One more I got for you.
Okay, what do you got?
How in the hell do they encapsulate if all cities in the United States, Los Angeles, is where they're playing pickup roller hockey in the middle of summer?
Oh man! I mean, you can't go 3 miles in downtown LA without hitting an inner city hockey game going on.
Right? Is that what we're led to believe? As LA natives, that was pretty offensive for me.
Yeah.
Mind you, the Lakers had just come off a great run in the 80s.
Yeah.
They were still doing good with, you know, Vlade Divac and Magic had tried making his comeback. But of all fucking things, pick up hockey in the middle of summer?
It's kind of crazy that that is what, you know, LA was. They needed people from LA, Russ, Kenan Thompson.
Right.
They needed kids from the city to teach them how to play real hockey.
How to rough them up a little
How
bit.
To rough them up.
They teach Ken Wu how to fight.
What you do is
you got to pull the shirt over. They give him a little street justice.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that edge?
Yeah. And they, you know, the street kids teach them how to play real hockey. Stick, gloves, and shirt. I didn't know that there was that many street hockey games going on in the early 90s.
Not at all. I mean, let the record show that you'll find more pickup basketball games, soccer games, or even football games before you'll see street hockey.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. that's a really big question. I got a big question.
What's that?
I'm going to lead into it a little bit.
Sure.
Coach Bombay, you know, gets the opportunity to be the coach, gets paid, which they don't say how much. He just says, you're going to pay me that much to endorse sportswear? And he says,
Hendrix.
Yeah, we take care of you. You know, you take care of us.
Hendrix takes care of you.
Yeah. How much do you think he was actually making?
Man, coming from making no money in the minors. Probably, and he was a lawyer, so he was making pretty good money. They must have thrown at least, I'd say, $5 or $6 million.
$5-6 million?
I think so.
How much was I'm trying to think of how much was like a normal NBA coach was getting paid back then. That's pretty. You're coaching for the Olympics, which is another big thing, but
Junior Goodwill Games.
Which
is the Olympics, we just can't say it's for the Olympics for obvious reasons.
And then they also mix summer and winter games in the summer. It's like, what?
Like, how?
How?
How's that happening? Either way, Bombay, they pay him X amount of money. They give him the mansion.
Oh, they send him, they're like, hey, you're going to be, they're playing in downtown LA. It looks like they're playing at the Coliseum.
The sports arena probably is what I would guess.
But they show the Coliseum.
Probably for the intro, right next to the Coliseum. Oh, the sports arena.
Okay, so that's where they're doing the
doing the whole tournament there. I'd assume the kids are probably staying at USC or something like it. They set up Bombay and Malibu of all fucking places.
In this place that
and
just
this
overlooks
is the early 90s Malibu.
Oh, yeah.
902 and nose hot.
Oh, yeah.
You know what he's doing.
Oh, so this is what we get to our big question and what I've always wanted to talk about when talking about this movie. Was Bombay on cocaine?
He looked a little yipped out. Dude, at one point, he transitions from being like, I am this humble coach.
I'm this humble coach from Minneapolis, floppy hair. And then
he really looks like a Sheen at that point. Let's just
he's got his suit on. He's at his party. They throw a big party at his house, right?
NHL stars Neely, Chelios, and Robitaille. Cam, Chris, and Luke. This is Gordon Bombay, coach of Team USA.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Gordon, Greg Louganis, Christy Yamaguchi, our Olympians.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Hey, Kareem. Yeah. I'd like you to meet Gordon Bombay, coach of Team USA.
Hey, Gordon, how you doing?
Glad to meet you.
So he has Kareem Abdul-Jabbar there, sitting down at a table. Talking about stuff you talk about when you're high. What do you talk about when you're high? All these wacky ideas.
What it is, it's a loafer. We'll call it the Air Bombay Loafer. Kids who want to coach.
You think there's enough kids out there who want to coach?
Absolutely.
He's like, I got an idea for a sports shoe. He's sniffing. You can see the coke rocks in his nose. They're going to the back room. Oh, dude, he's like, I got an idea for a sports shoe. It's for kids who like to coach. It's a loafer. He's on.
You got Yamaguchi in there. She stood the night.
This party was just all these Hollywood executives, all these people that from sports athletes and everything like that. He's partying with one of the Lakers from the Showtime era. I mean, come on.
He's got to be connected. He's going to the forum. Oh, he's going to the forum.
He's bumping lines in his own bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
He's all yipped out. And then he goes to the next game. He's all sported up. He's got his slick back hair, Pat Riley style.
And he bombs.
He bombs.
This is the Iceland game.
He goes into this Iceland game all hopped up on some Colombian.
He's fucked up. And the worst part of it all, he literally gives no shits.
Yeah.
He doesn't coach whatsoever. He gets mad at them for losing, hurts his reputation, and of all things, man, he wanted them to have fun.
Yeah.
Instead, he makes someone win sprints after the game. They're fucking kids.
They're kids. They lose. They lost. What was the score? The score?
12-1.
12-1.
Banks is hurt. Your best player's hurt.
You get your best goalie gets kicked out. And then Dean Portman, your actual enforcer, who can actually hold his own with these guys, gets kicked out.
To the credit of the kids, I'll give you, if I were the coach, I wouldn't have Robertson trying to lasso them all up and doing roundups and stuff. I'd be teaching them some sort of hockey.
It's teaching them defense. I mean, it's the one thing that throughout the first two movies that you don't see.
Not a lot of defense.
Not a lot of defense that Bombay's teaching them. He's teaching them how to have fun. He's teaching them how to lasso up kids. He teaches kids how to skate, which... Throughout the tournament, we see Luis
getting worse.
He can't stop. And the one thing that Bombay can do is teach him how to skate.
The fundamental thing that you need to be here on to take you to this big show is to break, and he can't seem to do it. Now, this leads to a very, very critical, maybe what we call unintentional comedy.
Unintentional comedy, yeah.
Gordon Bombay. We all know that he's got a lot of vices.
Oh, he's a drinker.
He's a
pill popper.
Pill popper.
From the first episode. We don't know if he stopped or not. It's just...
But there's one thing that always... He can't let it go, and that's womanizing.
Oh, man. He's sleeping with the enemy. That's what they say. You're sleeping with the enemy.
And he for sure was doing something.
He was dipping into the coach, the trainer.
And then he also got the sweet tutor.
Oh, the sweet tutor.
Gives her a kiss.
Yeah.
Gives her a kiss. And no one knows why. Man, this guy is just an asshole. Just great.
Dude, he's all Hollywood up. You know he's probably partying with his brother Charlie Sheen. It's like he's probably in there partying with Charlie Sheen and Robert Downey Jr. in Hollywood trying to coach Goodwill games.
And the worst part of it all, even after this guy gets a little tang, right? And then he gets chewed out, you know, his team's all mad at him. Charlie gets him, you're not my dad type bullshit.
Yeah.
They give us the same fucking scene from D1.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
It's like, what?
Comes in the middle of a game.
That he almost had to forfeit.
Yeah, they almost had to forfeit a game. He doesn't show up.
He doesn't show up
because he's out skating.
Reflecting.
Jan tells him, hey man, like...
Same thing that Hans told him, teach them to fly.
Yeah.
We get the same speech twice.
And then we get the same, like, kind of skating montage.
Yeah, the montage.
The first one was on a beautiful little lake in Minneapolis. This one's beachside with its rollerblades. And just poetically skating to the sunset.
This one feels a little more rushed. This feels like, man, we got a lot of story to get through. We got a lot of things to unpack.
Yeah.
Not enough time.
Not enough time. But so he comes back.
He scratches Banksy.
Hey, man.
Can't play. And Banksy says the one true thing, the one redeeming thing of this movie that actually has a little semblance of
Young Bombay.
Just of Young Bombay. Hey, my dad's counting on me. Where the fuck are the parents in this movie?
Parents are nowhere to be found.
Like, we're led to believe that these minors can go cross country with this drug addict, drunk, without any parental supervision.
The only parental supervision is their tutor, who's not really there only, I mean, all the time. She's there at the games and there to be,
you That's know. It. And you would think, mind you, when these kids get on the bus and they show us the scene of how they recruit Russ, they're going to South Central LA in 1994. And of all things,
let's take a bus to South Central. No, he says Compton, California.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in Compton. They're he's in like, the hood. Take me to Compton, California. Take us to Compton, California. We need to learn how to skate. And who is driving that bus?
Who in the right mind would even do that? They see all these privileged kids. They're getting jacked for all their stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
All their USA swag. No. Horrible.
That's a great point.
No parents whatsoever in this fucking movie.
Who's taking these kids to Compton? That's what we should know.
And
gang violence at the peak.
And then they show us the scene while they're playing. They play Whoomp, There It Is. That's not what's playing in the hood in 1994. You're probably getting like Tupac, Snoop, Nate Dogg.
But these street kids really teach them how to play hockey.
And it's the only semblance of coaching. The only actual hockey that's taught is by these fucking kids.
And then they recruit Russ.
Russ.
Because he knows how to do a trick play. Knuckle
which
puck.
Leads to the same problem again. They keep announcing all their fucking plays. Every against Germany, Flying V.
Yeah.
Against Knuckle puck. Fulton Chew.
Yeah, it's like...
It's the same garbage. And it's like, you would think they would learn from the first movie, but no.
They don't. It's Bombay is not a great coach, but he relies a lot on trick plays. That is his downfall and everything. So, sports accuracy, we kind of had, you know... This is probably the best record that Coach Bombay has.
All in all, yeah. He wins against Trinidad and Tobago. They win against Italy.
Yeah.
They take their lumps against Iceland. Mm-hmm. They beat Germany.
Where he wasn't even there half the time.
He wasn't there really half the time for that game. But they win against Germany with the Flying V and obviously the knuckle puck at this point. And we're led to believe that they get into this final match against Iceland. Now... As far as the setup, the feel, the game at the pond, you know, they bring in a lot of big names for this, and they give it a big fight feel. Almost.
Oh, they get to who do they get to see though? Who comes in to see them? Pro Wayne Gretzky,
Wayne the great one Gretzky.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, this is the biggest star in all of hockey
at this time, 1994.
1994. Oh yeah.
Still, what team was he on?
So he was coming off a Stanley Cup victory with the New York Rangers. And as a part of his illustrious career, to win in New York is a big deal.
All right.
So it kind of puts that stamp of approval on this movie. Like, yep, this is a must see now. They get to the whole setup. And what happens in this? The same shit. They don't learn anything. The last fucking practice before the final game, they pull out a beach ball.
Beach ball.
And they're fooling around. They're goofing off. Banks is fine. You know, no wrist injury whatsoever. And the wolf shows up. They play some, what is it, like check down or where they have to hit post, top crossbar. And he gets hurt again.
He gets sticked by the friggin' by the wolf.
By the wolf.
Bombay gets hit in the leg by the wolf.
And it's the spinning newspaper, the showdown, right? Wolf, Bombay. And this is what we're led to believe to be the final shootout. Game pretty much goes the way it's been the first time.
It's all trick plays in the first half. They're going out there. They're playing trick plays. There's a point where the kid from Austin, Texas, gets his lasso.
Oh, he gets two
dangerously ropes a kid around the neck to stop him from slamming against a girl.
You got the Bash Brothers going nuts. Ken Wu scoring and then squaring up on the goalie and then getting a penalty. At one point, Bombay says, this isn't hockey. This is madness. So they go in to the third period.
Is there halftime?
There's intermissions. And again, movie does a great job. They set it up really nice. They got the fucking state-of-the-art pond. They go into the fucking locker room. And for the first time in the entire movie, Bombay actually addresses the team as a team. And then he starts asking, where are you from?
Where are you from?
So you mean to tell me from the whole entire, from the hour and a half before that he is now barely getting to know where his team is from?
Yeah. Where are you from? It's like
Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas.
Los Angeles, California.
Compton, California.
Yeah. Bangor, Maine.
Yeah.
Minneapolis, Minnesota. St. Paul, Minnesota.
Minneapolis, Minnesota. Yeah, there's a lot of Minneapolis, Minnesota kids.
So it means, you know, and that's fair enough because I guess hockey's pretty big.
But this is the thing. This is Junior Goodwill Games, which is to represent the Olympics.
The entire country.
The entire country. They are Team USA and they're supposed to take it all the way. And the whole time, Charlie, the whole movie has been complaining about a lot of things.
Charlie is the worst fucking character.
Yeah, in this movie, comes off as a real big complainer. He's like, hey, coach, aren't we supposed to have fun? And well, after they lose 12-1, he tells coach, hey, I thought, you know, hockey was about fun. He's like, this isn't fun.
And he blows a whistle right in his face like a dick. Yeah. Like, I'm going to tell you right now. Shit was going down with him and his mom. Oh, and now it's just, now Bombay's just taking it out on Charlie. Just,
I think they mentioned that she gets remarried in this, so.
It's a sore spot. You can tell something didn't work out.
He's taking out some aggression on Charlie.
Now he's taking it all out on Charlie.
But anyway, Charlie's complaining the whole movie. He even says, like, early on when they show their uniforms for the first time, the Hendrix uniforms, they say, he's like, hey, this stuff says Hendrix, but we're Ducks. And he's like, no, but that's the business. Like, that's the business, man. He's like, but the thing is, they're playing representing USA. They should be wearing red, white, and blue. He says, can we at least keep our own colors? He's like, no, it's a business, Charlie.
As if we're going to change the entire symbol of our country, our colors of our country, just to acquiesce you, Charlie. Fuck you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then it goes, and then later on, he says, later on, they get into they're going into the second half. They're about to go into the second half of this big game against Iceland, and they're like, "You're not playing like Team USA. You're playing like a bunch of ducks."
Portman starts handing out the jerseys.
They unveil the Mighty Duck,
and they come out of the second intermission. They're going into the third period, the final period. They're down 2 goals, and probably as a kid, pretty cool scene.
Yeah, coming in as with their brand new Mighty Duck, revamped
There's
uniforms.
Almost as hush that comes over the crowd where,
oh, yeah.
And then they start.
And they say, but the announcer says, hey, I checked the rules. There's no rule in changing.
They had to cover all bases on yeah. that.
And then out of nowhere, the crowd automatically knows to sing We Will Quack You.
And it makes no fucking sense.
How do they know that they are changing into the ducks? How do they know to have the top of the signs to change We Will Quack You?
These are questions you don't ask in DCU.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Because then you get pretty cool sequence with Queens, We Will Rock You. You actually got some pretty cool hockey that comes out of it. They get a goal out of it. You get Mendoza, you know, our speedster that gets on a breakaway.
Oh, fast. He's
fast, 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 fast.
He starts turning into Benny the Jet Rodriguez before our very eyes.
And then he stops. And he says,
ice.
I stopped.
Put it in!
And he scores.
He scores.
So right now, we're pretty much almost level. There's time melting away. They need a play. Russ can't get his trick shot off. And of all people, Bombay says, hey, I got a plan.
And for what? Another trick play.
Bombay lives and dies on like these fucking all-or-nothing Hail Mary plays. They get Russ into Goldberg's uniform. Everyone goes over to see if Goldberg's going to take the shot. All of a sudden, the announcer says to Goldberg, and then Russ dramatically takes his helmet off, gets ready, lines it up, and then miraculously gets the shot in right before the end of overtime.
Oh my God. What if they were going to, what if Iceland started coming back on, you know, defense and started coming back on offense?
All they had to do was block the puck, and the game's over. They win the gold. So we go into quite possibly the best thing in all sports, a sudden death.
Sudden death.
A shootout.
Best thing, it's pretty much how every movie of this thing ends.
So we go in, Banksy makes his, Hall makes his, which is pretty cool. Pretty nice to see some of the OG guys make it. Believe Robertson misses. Mm-hmm. Guy Germain, I think he misses.
Yeah.
And then we get to the tie-all be-all, right? Banks finally makes his shot. And this is a cool spot. You know, he's obviously hurt. He's playing through pain. He deeks. He does his triple deke. He makes it in. And then it's Gunnar Stahl.
Gunnar Stahl. Gunnar. What a cool name, dude. I always thought as a kid, I can remember Gunnar Stahl than any other villain or any other
person. But you can tell he's a softie.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got something going on for Julie the Cat.
Oh, he wants Julie the Cat.
He wants Julie the Cat. And then Bombay calls time and says, I'm putting in Julie the Cat.
Cold.
Who in the fuck in the history of sports,
dude,
puts in a cold player who hasn't played a full minute of this whole tournament?
That, you know what? I was going to put, like, Bombay as, like, the worst character of the movie. But knowing that he pulled this, that's a pretty bossy, ballsy coach move. It's
actually one of the one things I give him credit for. There's no scouting report on Gaffney.
Dude, I mean, well, okay, let's think about coaches pulling in players, you know, starting, you know, Frank Vogel starting
AC
during the finals, last game of the finals, game six of the NBA finals, starts him.
It's Dave Roberts letting Urias go three innings.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he was somebody that he was on the do not pitch list. But if they were up and they were going to win, they were going to put someone like that in.
Because there's no ballsy coach moves.
That ultimately there's no record, there's no scouting on him. So it was the one hockey move that we can give Bombay.
Yeah.
And he stops her and says, you know, Gunner's tricky. He's a showboat. He's going to go triple deke. He's going to finish on the glove side. Julie says, well, what if he goes stick? No, he's flashy.
He's flashy.
He's going to go glove. And it's the whole, again, we reiterate, the whole movie is based on this one move, the triple deke. She counts it. One, two, three. The shot goes, and it's, I kid you not, a full minute.
Dude, when I was a kid, I was just like, like, it's a very dramatic moment.
As an adult, you're just like, no, the game, you would have seen, you know, we would have known the outcome right away.
Yeah.
And it pans to Julie, it pans to Gunner, it pans to the crowd, and her glove. She does a little pop and drops it on the ice, and everyone goes ballistic.
Oh, crazy. Yeah, it's a crazy ending, especially because we saw the Vikings give it to the Ducks the first time. You're like, oh man, there's no way they're going to beat them that easy. So it's kind of cool that it does come down to a showdown.
It gives you everything you want in the sports movie. You have to remember, around this time, you have Rookie of the Year that was out.
Yeah.
You had
Sandlot
was more of like a coming of age, like, mm-hmm. you know, like rite of passage. This was strictly a sports movie, feel good, yeah. you know. Like
more, it's more sport than the first one. The first one's like a kid's movie, kind of like Bad News Bears, you know, ragtag, not a lot of sports. But this one is a sports movie. You would say it's the most sports movie around these kids sports movies that are happening right at this time.
Which leads us to think, what's our MVP of the game? Like, overall, do you think is the most valuable
player? Most valuable player, to me, my pick would be Russ from Compton, California.
Russ, interesting choice.
Yeah, I would say because, you know, they were struggling a little bit. They needed some identity. And they go to the inner city. These kids kind of hype them up, like, play with your heart. Play to have fun and all this stuff. And Russ comes in. He's get his shots off. He gets his knuckle puck off. He kind of breathes new life into Team USA.
He gives them personality.
And to bring on someone like that just right off the street into a game, and he just kind of fits in.
He was getting under the skin of Jesse.
He was.
That's the one thing that I think I like is a shit talker.
Yeah.
And you know what? For all intents and purposes, Jesse wasn't in D3 because Russ literally just stole our hearts in the
stole our hearts in the
and
movie.
I'm going to agree with you. You know, yeah. Russ, MVP of this movie.
MVP of this movie. Wait, no, you had a different MVP. You said it should have been
Julie the Cat.
Julie the Cat, which that's a good pick, though, too.
I initially, again, Black and Gold, just peeling back what we do here. We talk about this and we research this in depth. Julie the Cat, great performance. Honestly, across the board, great character. She is the it girl because she's also in Rookie of the Year, which I researched as well, too. Yeah. She makes the game-winning play. She makes the movie. She makes you buy into this character.
She approaches Coach Bombay in private. not like in the middle of a practice, like, why am I not getting my game time? She goes to his office as a pro, says, hey, I want to show the world what I can do. When am I going to get my time to shine?
He gets a shot.
Gets a shot.
And gets a little smooch from Gunner.
A little smooch from Gunner.
I know, and Gunner.
They shake their hands.
That's how it is.
You lost. What does the coach say to him? He's like, you lost this for me. And he's like, you lost
this for yourself.
Let's go shake their hands.
And the thing is, that's the redeeming quality for Iceland. So whoever, vice president of the Icelandic Hockey Federation, don't worry, man. Gunner Stahl,
he's great ambassador for
Iceland.
Yeah. I wonder if there's some Gunner. I want to get a Gunner Stahl jersey for Iceland.
That'd be awesome. That'd be a good Halloween costume. But
all right, worst character of the movie.
You know what? I originally was going to go with Bombay. And Bombay, we can scapegoat him for a lot of things.
Yeah.
The wolf. Mm-hmm. Wolf is the worst fucking character in this movie.
That's your choice. So explain why you think the wolf should be the worst.
So for someone that is feared and they said his teeth were sharpened, you know,
he knocked more teeth out of players than he made goals.
Exactly.
In the NHL.
So for me, I can't like this guy.
Yeah.
And then more importantly, you know what? It is a Disney movie. You're expected to have like a really... This guy's a really great grasp of like freedom of speech here in the United States. Like, what, he can't show up in
the freedom of speech.
Like, interrupting a press conference, I think, is always like,
dude, that's like
it's unspoken rules. You don't do that. Yeah. It's like wrestling shit. Yeah, you know, it's like interrupting. You cut a promo while the guy is cutting a promo. You can't do that in sports.
Yeah, they do that in Rocky. I think they do that. I think Rocky's
Ice-T's character.
Yeah, right? Ice-T's character comes in.
Clubber Lang. Yeah. And, you know, you can't do that in a Disney movie because you got to obviously have a clear-cut good guy, bad guy. And this guy is what you would call a tweener.
Yeah.
Someone that is meant to be bad, but then he also brings up some pretty good valid points.
I mean, he seems like he's a good coach. He's got these guys running defense. They're doing defense. Rough defense.
Brutal defense.
But he's taught them defense. So my worst character choice of the movie is Charlie Conway. Charlie Conway. I feel like I rewatch this movie a lot, but rewatching it recently, you're kind of like, man, Charlie's just a little punk the whole movie. Like, he, at one point they're like, why did these people fight? You know, the teacher's teaching them about, like, you know, the Olympics and back in the old times in Greece. And, like, why were they fighting? And he says, for pride. You know, like, you're like, yeah.
Oh, they're talking about the city-states, right?
Yeah, like they're Sparta, like, oh, yeah. So they're like, oh, wow, Charlie's really understanding, like, why this is important to represent, you know, your country and all this. But then he's like, why aren't we the Ducks? Why aren't we the USA Ducks?
He's holding on to that one thing that Bombay gave him. Yeah. Give him hope.
Yeah,
hope is a dangerous thing to hold on to, especially when he's moving in on your mom. Like, he's, you know, you're learning a team sport. Like, you look up to this, and this is all you're holding on to. And, you know, he is kind of a whiny bitch.
Yeah.
Because even when the pivotal scene where they recruit Russ, and they're like, well, sorry, Charlie, we already have a full team.
Yeah.
He can have my spot.
But you kind of look, when you rewatch it, you're kind of looking around like Charlie's like, is anyone going to stop me? Anyone going to say like, no,
don't do it, Charlie. I'll give it up.
Everyone's just like, yeah, go ahead, Charlie, get out of here. Russ is a way better.
No, it's actually Banks that's ready to come back. Yeah. I'm sorry, I misspoke on that. Banks is ready to come back from injury.
And Charlie's
like, oh no, like who's at a step? Okay, I guess it'll be me. Yeah, yeah. It's like, dude, you don't have to be the reluctant hero. Like, you're Joshua Jackson. Like, you're gonna be just fine. You could have easily made this very simple for everybody. But no, you're gonna be coaching alongside me. Like, you're my little buddy.
Give him a clipboard. Here's a clipboard, buddy. Clipboard.
Play with it. He's a tool.
And then what does Bombay teach him as a coach? How to drop trick plays?
He teaches him nothing. He teaches him absolutely nothing. He teaches him how to ham it up.
So, out of all of this, this movie is what got me into the franchise. This movie was what I bought D3 tickets for because I love this movie. This movie came out, you know, I saw it on VHS. I loved it. I was all about it. But yeah, man, this movie is pretty high up on my rankings of kids sports movies for sure.
And it's in a time when there are a lot of good ones out. You know, I was 5 years old when I saw this, and it's still pretty ingrained in me to this day. Like, rewatching it, getting ready for this episode has been really fun. It's been really exciting. It's not as exciting as the next episode.
Oh, man.
I mean, a little teaser alert. Dude. They learn how to play hockey.
Oh, and they finally learn how to play hockey.
They learn how to play hockey, and it's great because I'm old enough to appreciate it. But I was even old enough to appreciate it then.
Yeah.
But
Dude, I am so excited for D3. I didn't realize like how much I liked it, but rewatching these two, the one and two, I'm like, man, these are cool movies. These two slapsticky, but like, man, D3 is surprisingly deep. It's pretty deep.
It's very deep. It's very complex. I mean, you could probably split that up in two.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of this is a crazy thing. There's not a lot of thirds in movies that are pretty good. It usually always drops off.
Revolution is bad.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the freaking Back to the Future.
Oh, terrible!
You know, terrible. They go back and there. Then there's the Dark Knight Rises had a good idea and was going in the right direction. It's just probably not the best execution. Godfather 3, people don't even acknowledge it. It's pretty much
the measure of what badness is based on.
Yeah. So this is probably. What I would like to say, D3 is the Godfather 2 of movies.
I'd probably say D3 is the Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, yeah.
Of this trilogy. Because for the most part, you think the bad guys are going to win.
Yeah.
But then you find out bad isn't always necessarily bad.
Yeah. So I'm excited to talk about D3. I'm excited to keep going this podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. And like we like to end every show with ducks fly together.
When you're a recovering alcoholic and your new job takes you out to Los Angeles for fame, fortune, cocaine, and women,
ducks fly together.
When you've lost the spirit of winning and you need young inner city kids to give you a competitive edge,
ducks fly together.
When you've reached the pinnacle of your coaching career by coaching kids at a national level and you're barely learning where everybody's from on a last game of the year,
ducks fly together.
When you're hired to replace a character in a sports franchise movie and no one seems to care or notice,
ducks fly together.
When you're up all night partying with the Iceland team trainer and you're licking something more than ice cream,
ducks fly together.
When you've never coached a professional hockey game before, and you get sudden excitement for saying change the line really loud,
change it up! Ducks fly together!
When you're coming off a coke bender, and you realize that you've missed the first half of a game, and you come back into the arena with a duck whistle,
ducks fly together!
When you spit upon your patriotism, and you revert to your old peewee hockey colors,
ducks fly together!
Thank you guys for tuning in. This is the Ducks Fly Together podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed. We'll see you next week with D3. Take care.
See you guys.
Ducks fly together!